On this particular occasion, Jesus is going to tell another one of his earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, a parable. He's going to tell a story that's old and yet new. Just as new as today. The story is about a man whose life had been apparently a complete success. He made plans to enjoy life fully. It seems like he's kind of getting retirement age. He's planning. He talks about living a life of ease. Some have retired and found out it's not as much of an ease, but he was going to live a nice life of ease, eat and drink, be merry. And death intervened. It was a story similar to those that had been told before and stories that had been told since. One writer I was looking at that was discussing this parable said in the Arabian Nights that there's a similar story. That story goes this way. It says, the king had gathered together a vast store of gold and other treasures and had built for himself a great palace reaching to the sky. One day he ordered a great feast for all of those who were in his court. He was sitting and satisfied on his throne, and he said this, old soul, thou hast heaped up for thyself all the goods, the good things of the world. Now thy give thyself up to them and enjoy these treasures in a long and happy life. Scarce had he finished when the angel of death came for him. But when Jesus told his story, that which was old became new. That which was an earthly story was given a heavenly meaning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Parable of the Rich Fool. Beginning of verse 13. Jesus is with his disciples and also with the earlier with a multitude of other people, probably still many of them hanging on. One of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. He said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto him, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he told them a story. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall these things be whom which thou hast provided? As we look at the parable, we look first at the context, at the circumstance of the story, because the parable springs directly from the circumstances. I was thinking about this morning on the way in, seems like Jesus always had an illustration or a story, didn't he? And Jesus was a man that lived life. He was out there in life. He was accused of, you know, going into the places where the sinners lived and where the sinners ate and hanging around with them, but he had to see life around him, and he did see life around him. And he was quick to to give illustrations, to have a parable, to have a story, to have something that people could hang their hat on, could go away remembering. So this parable springs directly from the story. It was a usual thing for people to come to a rabbi or to a teacher and ask him to help them with their problems. But I guess the question is here is, did this man really have a problem? You see, he likely had been a Jew. A Jewish law was pretty well set. In fact, it was set in stone as to this particular thing, his inheritance from your parents. The eldest son would get 2/3. Any other sons would get the remaining 1/3. If there was one, he would get that 1/3. So what do we have here? We have a young son who is not satisfied with his share. So we have something like greed going on. Jesus calls it covetousness. Jesus could see what was going on in the man's heart that was evidenced by the question. So Jesus' response, turning to his disciples, was, take heed. In other words, pay attention to what's going on here. Take heed and beware of covetousness. It's taken hold of this man. He said it can take hold of you. The rich fool is what we usually refer to this parable as. Most of them title the parable, The Rich Fool. Usually the name given to it. Tells a man who enjoyed a run of unbroken prosperity. As I was thinking there about an introduction, I thought about the Beverly Hillbillies. About old Jed up there wherever he was, and he got that bubbling crude out of the ground, that oil strike that he hit, and he headed off to Beverly Hills. This fellow didn't quite do that, but it's a story of a man who says, you know, I really got it made. His solution to his prosperity was, let's build bigger barns and I'll store so I can have all this to enjoy as life goes on, and I'll eat and drink and be merry. But then a word came from God that his soul would be required of him that night. So we're going to talk about here this morning things that come off of this warning by Jesus. And think about this story. Where did this man go wrong? Where did this man go wrong? Because that's really what the story is about. How did this man that approached Jesus go wrong? One that had the question, you know, divide that inheritance that I got coming with me, Jesus. You know, make a decision here that'll help me. I'm only getting 1/3 now. You know, I think half would be a whole lot better. But anyway, this parable comes out of that story. What's some things remembered, some things forgotten. Some things remembered, some things forgotten. And all of us that are a little bit older understand that there are some things that are remembered, and there's a whole lot of things that are getting forgotten these days. He remembered the wrong things, didn't he? He remembered himself. Oh, number one, it has been said that Jesus came to banish the words I and mine from my vocabulary, from life, and to substitute the words we and ours. All you got to do is reread a portion of this parable to see that this man needed to go to an optometrist, didn't he? Or an ophthalmologist, or one of those words I could pronounce. Optician, maybe. That's better. But look at verse 17. He thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Verse 18, said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I Bestow all my food. Verse 19 goes on with the same thoughts. And from that he goes on to plan his life. And apparently did not have the remotest idea or thought of including anyone else but himself. I don't know whether the fellow was married. If he was, she got a pretty good inheritance. because he, you know, it's like saying, well, how much did that fellow leave? Well, he left it all. That's what this man's going to do. He's going to leave it all. And he doesn't think of anybody except himself. Lady by name of Rita Snowden tells how someone remarked of a self-centered lady, and you have to think with me on this one to be sure and get all the points of it. But this lady was very self-centered. This is the way it goes. I'll have to read it. Edith lived in a little world bounded on the north, the south, and the east. Remember, it's Edith living in a little world bounded on the north, the south, and the east, and the west by Edith. Wasn't that this man? Rich man. Nobody else out there, just me and my world. Just me, my, and mine. Nobody else. The rich fool remembered himself. He remembered himself. He remembered the wrong thing. He remembered this world. He remembered this world. He had a thought. He didn't have a thought for anything except the world in which he was living. Jesus taught us on the Sermon on the Mount this in Matthew 16 verses. Matthew 6, rather, verses 19 through 21. And it's familiar with you. Matthew 6, 19 through 21, the Sermon on the Mount. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth, he says. For moth and rust will corrupt it, and thieves will break through and steal. They had those houses back then where you could knock on a wall. And that's what thieves would do. They'd break through that wall and steal. He said, instead though, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thief break through and steal. Then he makes the salient point for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. This rich man was building bigger houses. That was his treasure. And that's where his heart was. That's where his heart was. That's where his thinking was for himself and this world. The idea was, I'm going to amass things. I'm going to spend my time, my energies on things. Things that he believes can ensure security for him. You know, a lot of times, you know, the people today that are putting money away in a pension something, hopefully put it away in 401k, but you can't trust. Stock market goes down, bond market goes down. Some folks now just putting their money in gold. Price of gold is going to go down because so many people buying it. But maybe it'll get scarce and the price will go up because so many people are buying it. But see, we don't know about another thing, and we'll look at it in just a moment, that he forgot. But this rich man remembered the world. The Jews had a saying that went like this, that whoso craveth wealth is like a man who drank seawater. Do you ever drink just salt water? I mean, when you gargle in your throat or something or other, and you swallow some of that salt water, it doesn't taste good, but it doesn't quench your thirst either. If you caught out on a boat and you're adrift in the sea and you got lots of water to drink, you say, no, unless you can get that salt out of it. But they say, whosoever craveth wealth like a man to drink seawater, the more he drinks, the more his thirst increases, and he ceases not to drink until he perishes. Because man's got to have water, and he's still thinking it's quenching his thirst. This man also forgot some essential things. He forgot others. The second is likened to this. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I don't know whether you'd heard when a man asked Jesus, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus told him to love God. You know, put God first with all your might and strength and soul. And the second's like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. This man had not been there for that Sunday school lesson, had he? He'd not considered the plight of others. Were there no hungry to be fed then? Was there not some disaster relief effort begging for his funds? Begging for some of his goods? Had he not ever thought of sharing that which he had with others? Was there not some beggar at this rich man's gate? You know, the other day they reported on TV that we have about 1 in 7, I think, in this country, 1 in 6 or 1 in 7, that live below the poverty level. I think they say that's about 20,000 or so. Of course, some people on Social Security may be living below the poverty level and glad to get it. Somebody's made that rule. But anyway, and about 25% of the kids in this country are living in households that are below the poverty level. This country, as rich as it is, as many goods as we have stored in barns by the government that they... let's don't get into that. people are starving. We ship it to other countries. People are starving here. Used to say, well, they ought to be working. Well, there's still some that still should be working, but there are lots out there that would like to work right now. This man had not thought about others. Why not other places to put his surplus? A man by the name of Ambrose said about this, I guess he read this and commented on it. He said, thou hast barns, the bosoms of the needy, the houses of the widows, the mouths of the orphans and infants. But the rich man gave no thought to those barns because it was my barns. My barns. He forgot others and also he forgot time. I'll try not to this morning. I don't forget what time the clock says. I just ignore it. That aggravates you more, doesn't it? All right, anyway. The whole attitude of this man was, I've got unlimited time. That's what I've got. I've got unlimited time. I'll do it. That dangerous word. Most dangerous word in the English language. I'll do it. Tomorrow, or the other prayer, I'll do it when I get around to it. And at Clarksville Highway, I bought a bunch of round to its. Put round to it on it and handed them out. Made pins out of them where you stick them on your lapel. And people were going to get around to it one way or the other. I gave them one. We finally got around to it. But this man didn't. No one knows if tomorrow will ever come. Some have said that tomorrow is only on the fool's calendar. How fitting it was that God, when we come down to toward the end of the story, said, thou fool. He had his calendar, didn't he? He had his calendar. Thou fool. There's another story that's told of three prentice devils. Three apprentice devils. I went to a number of places to get my information, get some help on this lesson, so I got a few of these. Hopefully it'll help us. This came from a book by William Barclay titled, And Jesus Said. Three apprentice elders, deacons, devils, free of prince devils, preachers, devils who were coming from hell to earth to serve their time. They were telling Satan before they left how they were going to, how they proposed to carry out their function, their job. And one of them said, I'll just tell people that there is no God. The devil said, no, that won't do because, you know, in their hearts of hearts, many people still believe that there's a God. Next one said, you know, I'll tell them that there is no hell. And he said, no, that won't do either because they still see a lot of hopeless things where they see them and feel and experience the remorse of hell. The third one said this. He said, I'll tell everybody that there is no hurry. There is no hurry. The devil said, that's it. Said, you tell them that and it will ruin the lives of millions. There is no hurry. This man, this rich man, didn't get in a hurry. He forgot time. He forgot God. That's perhaps the greatest blunder that this man did. He didn't take God into account. If you really look at the story, what's wrong about a farmer having a lot of crops this year and building a bigger barn? They do it, you know, probably every year in this country. It's not every year in this country do they experience these abundant crops. But this man built those barns and did not make provision for others, did not make provision for the time that he had and for well-doing, and he did not make any provision for God in his plans. Book of James, God's word sounds out a warning to such thinking. That in our planning, in that which we say we'll do in the future, James says this in James 4:13 through 15. James, I'll turn there and you'll have a chance to turn. But I'm going to get there quick because I just got it just about. James 4, verses 13 through 15. Come now. In fact, I think somebody said it in the Greek. It says, come now. Come now, ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a while, a little time, and then vanisheth away. Or you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. In your prayers, keep that in mind. You pray that so-and-so will get better and live a longer life. Pray that God's will be done because God knows the future. He knows what's going on in that life. Let's not make this mistake as the rich man did. These are words that's usually said over the folks that's residing up at Ellis Funeral Home. Bob's already prepared them for you to come in and look at the body. And the preacher says something like this, reading it from James, about our life is just a vapor. We're here for just a little time. It's something to think about, isn't it? Something to think about. But God said to him, this rich man, thou fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. That was the farthest thing from his mind. The farthest thing from his mind. The parable of the rich fool, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The heavenly meaning, Jesus says, beware. Take heed. Beware of covetousness. this man, as we note some things about him, he remembered himself. He remembered this world, but he forgot some essential things, didn't he? He forgot others. He forgot to think about more than just himself. He forgot to think about the time, about not procrastinating doing those things that are should be number one in life. Seek God and His righteousness, His kingdom and His righteousness. All these other things be added to you, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He forgot others, he forgot time, and he forgot God. And God suddenly came into the picture and let him know it. In Matthew 16:26, Jesus asked this question of his disciples. He asked a question that the rich man had apparently never thought of. A question we need all to consider. Now, I know many of us have considered it before, but we need to consider again and again, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, let's go out this afternoon and build bigger barns. No. Here this morning and not a Christian, why not come to Christ today? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that without Him you are lost in your sins? Are you willing to turn from those sins to repent? Confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God and then to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. They're washed away. Acts 22:16, as we're baptized into Christ, just like the sins of Paul. If you're a Christian, desire prayers on your behalf, wish to rededicate your life to Christ. Whatever you need, would you come as we stand and sing?